The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
Welcome in, everybody. It's time for another edition of Everything You Need to Know. I'm Kip Kiefer, flying solo this week. Was delighted to have my partner in crime, my co-hostess extraordinaire, Terry Quillian, with me last week. I hope you caught the episode. We talked about some vitally important topics. So if you want to backtrack and hear that, by all means do. We talked about the kind of current climate in our country. And I thought it was an important discussion because you kept hearing throughout the election season the threat to democracy that was being posed by opposing viewpoints of some of the folks that are in control of things right now. And basically, the threat to democracy is really veiled to be a threat to what we're trying to sell here. Anything that does not agree with those particular viewpoints is stamped disinformation and a threat to democracy. And I think the most important thing that came out of last week's discussion was definitely that anybody who steps up and has concerns and questions and wants to have their voice be heard is not a threat to democracy. They are the definition of democracy. That dynamic is vital for this country to work. Dissent cannot be shouted down, ridiculed, and dismissed because it's not consistent with the belief system of the people trying to perpetuate those ideas. It is the healthiest thing that we have. So let your voice be heard. If you're concerned, you have questions, step up for democracy, step up for our representative republic, because your voice is vital to that process working. So I thought it was an important show, and I hoped a lot of folks got to listen to that last week. Let's move on to this week. I've got kind of a mixed bag I thought would be interesting here. First of all, happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. It's Thanksgiving week, one of the great American traditions. And we're going to talk about Thanksgiving here a little bit later in today's show. I've got some interesting points that you need to know about America's arguably second biggest holiday. It's always the kickoff, basically, to the official end of year holiday season. And I hope that everybody has a wonderful celebration and a great time this weekend celebrating Thanksgiving. Let's kind of hit the highlights of what you might have missed in the last week since we last joined you. A little bit of a Saturday Night Live weekend update kind of thing, although I'm not Chevy Chase. But I still think it's kind of interesting, some of the things that have popped up this week that will be fascinating topics to talk about. The first one I want to mention is a summit that our president attended overseas. He was in Cambodia, and several times in speeches, he thanked the great people of Colombia. Missed it just by, 15, 20,000 miles and different continents. But the president's heart was in the right place when he thanked the good citizens of Colombia. It was a climate change conference. And you know what happens in all of those? It is everybody around the world wanting pledges from the United States to dramatically cut our emissions and carbon footprint back while they resist doing the same. And us asking other nations, while we limit our production of natural gas and oil and cause terrible inflation problems in our country, we beg outlaw regimes for help in sending us more fuels, which kind of is a dramatic contradiction to we are doing this to impact positively the planet. Why is it okay for other countries to produce energy and us to cut our production way back in the with the excuse that it's some kind of commitment to renewable energy, which right now is not available at the levels that would be necessary to provide the energy needs for our citizens. So we continue to live in an inflationary situation. And I've explained this before, that when you limit the fuel production and the ability to refine and ship that around the country, you really put a terrible damper on, of course, that's going to raise fuel prices, which is going to cut the ability of our supply chain to function properly, because all of our systems are based on diesel fuel production as far as getting goods to marketplaces and different things of that nature. But another thing I think people don't realize is it also hampers farmers and producers all over the country having their energy costs go way up. That's not going to be reflected in their profits. It's going to be reflected in their raising of prices, which is why now you go to the grocery store to buy your Thanksgiving dinner materials this year, and it's going to be basically double what you've been used to paying in the past, because those costs are being passed on to you because we are not energy independent any longer. And that is a huge factor in why everything is costing so much. And of course, to alleviate that situation, the government keeps voting for more and more major handouts and spending of money. And the more money that's produced and pumped into an inflationary market only makes inflation worse. It's the definition of inflation. More money in circulation chasing less goods is inflation, and that's what we're experiencing right now. So a couple of sobering thoughts to kind of start this off. But the president was in the country of Cambodia at this climate change seminar. So they want production, limited in the United States, carbon emissions cut way back without making that commitment to themselves. Chinese President Xi was there. He had his nation, which he's bought and paid for all of this worldwide influence now with the United Nations and other worldwide agencies. China is very prominently bent over backwards to. China was declared a developing nation. It's been around since the beginnings of time. It's got billions of people, and yet it's considered a developing nation. So there is no restrictions on their carbon emissions. That country runs primarily on coal, which is basically outlawed in America now, much to the dismay of entire states in the Rust Belt and people that have been in the coal industry their entire lives. In China, coal is the primary energy source, and they don't have to comply with any emission standards according to all these treaties for 30 years. India the same way. It's just ridiculous that United States always has to bear the burden of responsibility and action while the rest of the world gets a get out of jail free card. So Biden goes to that conference, and as they always are, the two great solutions to this terrible problem of climate change is America bending over backwards and complying with all of the demands of the world, and at the same time writing checks and distributing them to all kinds of depressed areas around the world that have been badly damaged because the climate change perpetuated by the West has led them to have all kinds of problems in their country. And it's the United States' responsibility to give reparations and pay for the damage that they've incurred to these third world hellholes all around the world who are run by corrupt governments who have no interest in the welfare of their people. But we're expected to cut back on our energy production and write checks to the rest of the world to apologize for all of our misdeeds. I mean, it's just ridiculous if you put your thinking cap on and, you know, seek the truth and develop your own perspective. What is writing checks to underdeveloped places in the world going to do in terms of addressing this alleged climate crisis that is an existential threat to all of us occupants of the world. Of course, the fact that there's a war raging in Ukraine and missiles are being lobbed back and forth, dangerously close to massive nuclear power plants, which could cause a cataclysmic event with the sequence of circumstances, and also threats from the Russians that they will deploy nuclear weapons at some point if necessary, which could trigger an Armageddon. I think that's a little bit more of an existential threat than worrying about the temperature and all of the implications that these people that always are trying to sell, because that is their fastest ticket, and they know it, to controlling the narrative in terms of power and control that we always talk about. So that was the purpose of the visit and the sit down between our leader and President Xi from China. And there are so many subjects that needed to be addressed, and our president did not bring up any of them. He basically railed on about climate change and how China needed to become more serious about it, and just completely dismissed the question about Taiwan independence, about the origins of COVID-19, which China is covering up and not allowing any outside investigators to have access on clearly what was intentionally or unintentionally the release of this terrible scourge on the world from the Wuhan laboratory, funded, by the way, by Tony Fauci's National Institute of Health here. The story is deep. And this sounds, again, like, you know, some people would accuse this of being conspiracy theory, but it is absolutely documented by facts. And there's no disputing that all of the things I'm telling you are true, because the premise of this show is we are fact-based, unlike the other side that says we believe in truth, not facts. It's just the opposite here. Facts make truth. And these are difficult questions to answer that they simply deflect and say, well, you know, there's no evidence that it came from the Wuhan lab. There is bundles of evidence, and everybody knows it. And now the big question is, was this unleashed on the world as some kind of effort to collapse the West economically and advance China's powerful position that they clearly aspire to occupy? So Biden did not bring up either of those points. And it's and also the Chinese theft of all of our intellectual property, the unleashing of TikTok, which basically is an indoctrination effort for our young people in the country, and also a monitoring and hacking device that gets tons of data on American citizens. Those questions were very, very appropriate to raise and were not discussed in this three-hour meeting of mostly Biden railing again about climate change. You know, love or hate Donald Trump, I can't imagine there's an American citizen that has any interest in what's their best interests that would rather have Joe Biden sitting at the table representing our country as opposed to Donald Trump. Because Trump was going to ask the hard questions. Trump was going to confront that leader. And, you know, you've got to have somebody in your leadership position that's willing to do that and not just waste time for photo opportunities with the other most powerful nation on earth. So that's what's happening overseas. Let's go back here to our country. And we see that the Republicans have gained control of the House of Representatives, which immediately gives them subpoena power and committee chairmanships. And they announced this week that the first order of business for the new Republican House of Representatives is to investigate the Biden crime family. Hunter Biden and his uncle, Jimmy Biden, Joe's brother, our president's brother, have had a cottage industry going for years and years, using the influence and power that their father slash brother have to peddle influence all over the globe and collect millions and millions of dollars. And again, there's so much evidence of all of these interactions. There's banking evidence. There's also the laptop, Hunter Biden's own laptop, which the FBI has been in possession of since 2019 and have done nothing in terms of investigation. It's all just stifled. It was reported to, of course, right before the 2020 election to news providers and high and tech companies that this was just Russian disinformation, which was a blatant lie, and everybody knew it. Even 55 former intelligence officers signed a document that said this has all the earmarks of Russian disinformation. It's absolute bunk, hokum that they took that position knowing that it was a lie, but just to kind of deter any influence that might have on the 2020 election. The Biden family has been corrupt and profiting big time for years and years. Hunter Biden accompanied his father, then Vice President Joe Biden, on Air Force Two to China and walked away with a $1.5 billion investment for his firm, which of course had been started just as a shell company. They had no investment expertise. Why would the Chinese Communist Party drop $1.5 billion on Hunter Biden unless they were trying to buy influence? There's no other explanation, and it needs to be investigated and brought to the public's knowledge. A Democrat congresswoman was interviewed on a show I saw this week, and she says, why can't we just move on? We just keep regurgitating this same story about Hunter Biden. She says, it's all been debunked. That's their favorite word, debunked. Debunked means that they've decided that it's not worth anybody's time and nobody needs to know what's going on. So it's been debunked. Anytime you hear them say that, that's just a deflective term to let's move on. Nothing to see here. So the Republicans intend to have hearings and bring in witnesses and show the American public that a lot are not even aware of because it's not covered in any other media in terms of print journalism or on the big network television stations. They've been treating this as a non-story because it's inconvenient to the agenda. This congresswoman went on to say that, you know, we just need to move on and move ahead at the problems that we have now. And when asked in a follow-up question, well, what about the two-year investigation on the January 6th situation that you wouldn't let go, and the 3 years prior to that, and the millions of dollars wasted chasing this Russian fantasy that the Russians somehow had engaged Donald Trump as an agent of the of Moscow, that turned out to be totally false, and absolutely you found the origins of where that was made up, and there's a lot of people that can testify to that fact. That really kind of shows you the attitude when she says, well, you know, I think it's a lot more serious than we have a possible attempt to take over our government, an insurrection to invade our capital, than this story, alleging that all this debunked information about the Biden family. But that's an asinine comment when you consider that our president now is dealing with our most powerful adversary. And if he is compromised by taking millions of dollars as, quote, the big guy that is referred to constantly in Hunter Biden's laptop communications and confirmed by partners that Hunter and James Biden had around the world, that Joe Biden was every bit involved in this and was profiting big time. I mean, ask yourself, why does he have two oceanfront properties in Delaware? You don't get that from being $170,000 a year congressperson. It begs the question of, do we have a man occupying the Oval Office right now that possibly is compromised by all of his family's business dealings and his personal benefit of getting millions of dollars because of it? I think that's as every bit as serious a question as a bunch of goofballs who were in Washington protesting the election and letting their voices be heard, as I've mentioned before, as they should have been, but then very ill-advisedly charged into the Capitol building. And really just, it was a futile and stupid gesture on their part. And it's caused a lot of heartache for a lot of people that are trying to reform what's going wrong in our country right now the right way. Certainly those people should be punished, and they were out of line, but it was not an organized insurrection. 98% of those people were not armed. No one in the Capitol building was shot and killed. There was nothing like a South American coup attempt. A lot of the people that had occupied and rushed the Capitol were taking selfies of themselves and video of the experience, like tourists, to try to paint this as some kind of government takeover attempt is really ludicrous. So and even if it was a government takeover attempt, that's just it's certainly as serious if we have a compromised president in the White House making decisions based on his family's prior dealings with these regimes that he has supposed to be working to overcome as adversaries to our country. So let's move on. That's pretty much covers the situation with our leader and his crime family. There's other things on the agenda here. And the one thing I should mention, too, about that story, and I don't want to move on before I do. Part of the congressional investigations is going to be to present some 16 or 17 now whistleblowers from within the FBI and Department of Justice who have come forward and are giving dramatic testimony about how politicized those institutions in our government are. And that's a pretty disquieting fact as well. So this is not just partisan politics and people trying to cause trouble for the other side. This is a legitimate concern that every American needs to pay attention to. The biggest story of the week probably is Taylor Swift was starting a big nationwide concert tour, and 3.5 billion people tried to log on to Ticketmaster this week to get some tickets to those shows. And the system delayed people 7, 8, 9 hour waits before crashing, and they shut it down and say, sorry, we're not going to be able to accommodate any Taylor Swift concert requests. Now, that has sparked a lot of angst and controversy with most of America's teenage girls, but it also has gotten the attention of a lot of lawmakers who are calling now for serious investigations on antitrust of the ticket giant Ticketmaster and their ineptitude in accommodating these kind of events. And the dirty little secret is they go about pre-selling so much of the inventory in these shows to people that, you know, don't have to go through the process that a regular fan does. So a lot of the times, more than half the tickets to these shows are already gone before the rest are put on sale. And it's the business practices that are very sketchy. That's why all of a sudden, if you look on secondary markets today, the StubHubs and some of those other kind of outfits, SeatGeek, I know there's a whole bunch of them, but they always have a great deal of tickets because somehow tickets to these shows get in the hands of people that want to buy and sell them instead of the regular fans. And there are prices on some Taylor Swift tickets right now on the internet for as much as $15,000 to $20,000 for a single ticket to a single show. Would anybody pay $15,000 to go to a concert? If they do, then I don't want to hear anybody complaining about the economy or any of the problems that we're having, because that is an indicator that we are way, way out of line in terms of where we are. So the Taylor Swift controversy is a big story this week around the country, because tickets just don't seem to be available for those shows. And if anybody's got a spare 15 or 20 grand, if you want to take a date, that's only going to be that'll be around 40,000. Have at it, and all the best to you. I hope Taylor puts on a really good show. I hope she doesn't have a headache that night, or that could be a real bummer. Let's talk about what we promised to talk about to start off with today, and that is the Thanksgiving holiday. And again, this is a day of family and faith and food and football and fun. And what's wrong with that? And if you pay attention and look around and you see articles popping up, there is that same crowd that has a big problem with Thanksgiving because it came at the expense of our natives here in this country. Now, that is a fallacy that really needs to be addressed in terms of Thanksgiving itself. Of course, there were atrocities, there were terrible things that happened as this country developed with just an influx of European people coming over here to look for a better way of life for their families and their loved ones and their future ascendants. There's no question that there's a lot of regrettable things that happen to the native indigenous people that already occupied this land. But it needs to be pointed out that this was not like a established country. The American, quote, Indian, and the American also is questionable because this wasn't America until the Declaration of Independence in 1776. And this is hundreds of years prior to that. But this was not one organized group of, quote, Indians, who were only named Indians because Christopher Columbus discovered indigenous people in the Caribbean islands and thought he was in India and dubbed them Indians. All of that's important because this was hundreds of different tribes, different developments of, you know, societal progress, some very large and organized, some basically primitive, all different varieties of hundreds of different tribes, not one group of, quote, Indians or Native Americans that were dominating the landscape. And when the Pilgrims landed in Plymouth on Plymouth Rock in 1620, the first people they encountered were the Nagawoa Indian. I always mispronounce that. But anyway, that tribe indigenous to that area, the Nagawoa Indian tribe was in that area, and they were at war with the Narragansett tribe. I got them confused with the Narragansetts. The Narragansett tribe and the Wapahoas were in wartime. They were in conflict over territory and resources and different things. And the Wapahoas originally came to the Pilgrims after they had landed in Plymouth. And, this is a fascinating subject for me. How could communication be facilitated between two groups that never even knew the other existed? But apparently through body language and gesturing and just a painstaking process over the next year or so, they got to where they could understand each other enough. And that original group of Pilgrims formed an alliance with the Wapahoas to help protect them against the Narragansetts, the tribe. So, you know, you didn't walk into this peaceful land of wonderful tranquility and these evil conquerors from Europe came in and pushed them around and drove them out of their lands. Of course, that ultimately developed, but this is not American phenomenon. This is what's happened throughout the course of human civilization as people have expanded territorially. It happened all the way back in the Egyptian, the Greek, the Roman, the Persians, and then the Europeans trying to expand their realm of existence and look for places with abundant resources and a better quality of life for their families. And unfortunately, the indigenous people on this continent bared the brunt of that because they were pretty much forced out of their lifestyles. And it's unfortunate, but all these people that are saying Thanksgiving is compromised and should not be celebrated because the old story of the Indian tribe coming and befriending the Pilgrims and all them sharing in food and bounty and goodwill is a little bit of a tainted story. Because again, the reason the Wapahoans approached the Pilgrims was to seek some protection from their enemies, another tribe, the Narragansetts. And they did have a bountiful harvest in 1621, which the Pilgrims were celebrating and were joined by the Wapahoans in that particular event. It was not Thanksgiving. It was a three-day celebration for a bountiful harvest and to give thanks to God. So the traditional holiday we celebrate now was not established until 1863 by Abraham Lincoln, right after the Battle of Gettysburg, and which apparently was the indication to him that the United States was going to survive the war between the states. And he thought Thanksgiving celebration once a year on the last Thursday of November would be a fitting way for all Americans to celebrate the unique opportunity they have in this great experiment we call a constitutional republic. And that's the origins of the Thanksgiving we celebrate now. So a lot of the information that you get and a lot of the things you hear from the same old voices that want to tell you how evil America is and the concept is just all flawed, just tune that out. Enjoy your Thanksgiving with your family, your friends, your football, your food, all the things that we hold dear in terms of being grateful to the our creator and the people that did have the courage to forge the journey here with some unfortunate circumstances that are resulting in, you know, some kind of moving out of the people that were the original occupiers of the land, who now have the same rights as all Americans because they were certainly certainly entitled to that designation. American Indians are Americans now. Just like anybody who's a citizen of our country, all of us have different origins and all of us have access to the American dream, which is still the best deal in all the world. So a little perspective on this Thanksgiving week. I hope everyone has a joyous celebration, and we always enjoy coming to you on Need to Know. I'm Kip Kiefer. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We will talk to you again this time next week.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.